Hey everybody, and welcome to a conversation with Dak Mills. How you doing today, Dak?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm good. I actually talked to you not too long ago, and I'm trying to remember what was our topic on that one.
I think it was just the most random things we're talking about. We talked about ideas, a little bit about politics and just life in general. We kept it nice and breezy, but
yeah.
Conversation overall, we're talking about a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I was just, this may be very, very similar. So, yeah. I talked to Dak, and the funny thing is, you know, this is funny about these things. I'm like, I remember it being incredibly pleasant and delightful, and then I'm like, well, what did we talk about? And I'm like, oh, you know,
I think that's a good thing.
I think we went all over the place.
I think we
So one of the things I always like to ask folks here is, you know, what inspired you to decide to, you know, basically talk on the internet, as it were, to do a show?
Yeah. You know, for me, it was that I feel like, you know, it's a very vast open space. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has, you know, a chance to voice their opinions. I think for me, it was more, I felt there was a lot of misinformation out there in the world, which I feel like is always a thing. Mm-hmm. And I always love to be able to be the voice of reasoning. I've been at my friends, I've been in my life, and I've been in my relationships. So I thought on a podcast platform, it'd be great to have these great conversations that I was already having in my daily life with people. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to kind of take that to the next level and start a podcast. And I was like, okay, this would be great to do that. And, got a chance to talk about a lot of great topics and meet interesting people. but I also realized it's very daunting. It's a lot of work, you know, on top of it. But I enjoyed it. You know, I think when you do something you enjoy, it's the saying is always, it's never really work. So, yeah, I just really want to have open conversations with people and just have open dialogue. And that's kind of the reason I started my podcast.
That's interesting. Now, do you think that your friends and so forth would say, you know what, Dak is the voice of reason? Or do you think anybody would push back on that?
I don't think so. You know, I think to this day, I don't want to toot my own horn. People still find it that I think that I'm their therapist. And so they kind of just, I'll ask a question like, oh, how's your day going? What's going on in your life? And I normally check in on my friends from time to time. And then the next thing you know, I get a slew of 15, 20 minutes later, what's going on? And I'm just like, oh, you're so easy to talk to. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I was like, that's well, going. I didn't know all this was going on, you know. So I would say I'm probably an easy person to listen and talk to, but I do think I give good advice. Probably not, I don't take my own good advice sometimes, but I do think I give good advice to the point of like, you know, have people just kind of rethink things and realize certain mistakes they're making or realize that you're just not really helping yourself by doing certain things, you know, and keeping it nice and fresh and light, not too mean. You know, I think sometimes you can be a little too mean, you can be a little hurtful. So you have to learn to reel it back sometimes.
So there's no tough love, Dak. There's just
there is
smooth and easy, Dak.
It's only for certain people that comes out. But no, okay. For the most part, I keep it kind of nice in general, and I try to say, listen, I'm a little older, and I've kind of been there. A lot of my friends are a little younger than me, and I'm just kind of like, you're gonna go through these growing pains in life, and you know, just make sure you make the right decisions. You're going to learn one way or another. So I can't tell you not to do something because you're going to probably want to do it anyway. But you know,
yeah, it's amazing how you know, good, how much good advice goes unheeded.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, one of the things you have to like about being human is the fact that you can hear something that's probably the best thing for you. And decide, you know what? I'm not going to do that.
I think a lot of times, the key time I think it happens a lot is in relationships. And I have a lot of friends in good relationships and some very upheaval relationships. And, you know, I just kind of like, I don't understand it. Once again, I'm not living your life. It's your life. Mm-hmm. You do, but I'm also like, you got to start looking at your patterns of your dating life and realize it's not always the other person. It could be you sometimes.
That's a little harsh.
Oh, so it comes up with certain.
That's a little harsh.
It comes up with certain people, but I mean, I think in reality, it's like, you know, it's almost like you said. It's like you just kind of. I'm not going to beat a dead horse over it, but it's almost like you're going to keep doing what you do. I can't really change that about your scenario, but Also, I'm not gonna sit up here and just let you get off scot free and be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do it. Okay, well, you're done.
They should call you the director. They should call you the director. You're the director of the drama club right there.
Might not be wrong, but my life as a reality show would be very interesting. Let's put it that way.
You're helping, you're keeping things on task for the drama club out there. Sure. So you decided, you said, okay, I'm gonna put these things out there on the internet and so forth. And sure. Is there anything that you're wanting to get? I mean, you're having the experiences, right? I think that's, you know, one of the key mm-hmm. things about all this. And I think the interesting thing about that is that these would be, we've as a society, perhaps we've taken these experiences that happened in public before and now made them public, which is kind of a weird kind of flip on language, as well as the fact that we're in an internet culture now, right? So you may have met these people, like, you know, at a restaurant or wherever, right, in your daily life, and had these conversations because you were, you know, kind of brought together for various reasons. But now it becomes a little more structured, and then it's presented to where not only can the people around you listen to you, but other people in disparate, you know, all over the world potentially could listen to you, like we're doing now. So I find that fascinating just in thinking about it. Is I wonder why, what is the trigger for that? Because, I mean, everybody seems to be in tune with it right now. In the past, that may, you know, it may have made people terrified to think, sure, oh, this conversation's going to be out there for anyone who wants to hear it at the click of a button.
Yeah. I think for me is, or my understanding, or what I think my ideology on it is reality TV changed all of this. You know, when we had the opening of reality TV, people had a fascination. I'll be the first to say I do, because I love my housewives. I'll be the first to be up in that 24/7. And I think when that kind of culture came into our world, it was more of like, I could relate to these people. These are people I either think are messy or crazy or just fun or entertaining to watch, and realize that that's probably some of the stuff you probably do on a daily basis. So when people get on a podcast or they listen to a podcast, I have certain podcasts I listen to. A lot of mine mostly are very political, but mostly artists and writers, directors. I love entertainment. It's you're getting an insight into their lives and the process of certain things. Like for me, an example I use, like I listen to, oh God, why am I looking on a freaking name right now? Max Shepard's podcast. And so his is really good because he just talks with a lot of celebrities and people, and they talk about just the process of like getting to know one another, how their working process is when it comes to movies, and he gets with directors and different things. And so it's things that like you don't feel alone. I think sometimes people feel like they're just alone in their process of feeling like, I think I'm the only person that's going through this, but then they hear something like, oh my God, I'm not the only person. And that makes people feel a little more special in a way that they don't feel so alone. I think in a level, it's a connectivity thing. It's a feeling connected to the world in a way and not feeling so alone. But it does get tough sometimes because like you don't want to use certain people's names. And so you're kind of like, you know, I sometimes don't want to talk about my ex and I don't want to use his name per se. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, I was like certain situations, but I think people who know who it is, they know who it is regardless, but I never try to blast anyone. I never try to say, oh, well, you're so-and-so and blah, 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 this and that. I never try to do that. But it's the connectivity people have with that. And I think that is why it becomes so popular. People are having these avenues to talk and feel heard and seen. That's the main issue we have a lot in our country. And it's just in society in general, people don't feel heard and seen. And sadly, that can be a bad thing for some people. It could be a good thing for others. So it's a kind of it can go any direction, you know. On that.
Yeah. Do you think there was a time, like in the recent past? I'm talking within the last, like, you know, 20 years or whatever, that there was a point where we American society specifically became disconnected, and we all kind of, you know, went to our corners, and mm-hmm. that's the reason why this is happening. Or do you think that this is just been a slow progression?
No, I think, I mean, you look back some of the dawning times of the early, well, it's the last 20 years. So what is that? The early
2000s. Yeah.
Before 9/11, you know, I'm probably going way back thinking in my head.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think that was kind of the way things kind of were. You work, you go home, you meet your family, you have family disputes, or you take trips or travel, the case may be, but it was never nothing that was so exposed. You know, but that's my early statement. It's like, you know, TV just opened that door, because otherwise you just go home and watch a sitcom or a TV show, and that was your connectivity to something outside that world. But I think it also depends on where you grew up too. You know, I think, you know, I grew up on the very liberal eliteness of California. So, you know, and I think people who grew up maybe in the Midwest in certain aspects had different levels of work and play and how they in their lives. So I think it's a lot of those factors went into that. But yeah, I think you're right. It's just kind of just, you go to work, come home, family, and kind of rinse, repeat, and do it again.
It's interesting when you said that. So you said basically that, you know, when you got home, you may watch television, and then that was your point of connectivity. Sure. So with the internet opening up, basically, I think you hit upon something there in the sense that now that people are away from broadcasting, right, which is, you know, one point to multiple people, now you have multiple points. And so it's much more of an interactive kind of a situation. And, you know, it went from, you know, like Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors to Baskin-Robbins a million and, you know, plus flavors, because there's so much more content for people to take advantage of, because you don't have to, you know, for lack of a better example, you know, Friends isn't the touch point now, right? You don't have to look at that and say, you know, and try to relate to that, because that may have nothing to do with your world. But that was kind of the most popular thing in that, you know, in the late 90s and so forth. And you were kind of forced into it in a way.
Yep.
And now you're not. I mean, you can do whatever you want. And that's interesting, though. I think I think maybe you hit upon the thing that is that we have been given almost an infinite amount of choice and the ability to make those choices now, whereas before we didn't. I mean, we thought cable was expansive with, you know, 500 channels, but that's nothing compared to now.
No, and you're right. You touched on a part of the internet. It's almost, I'm showing my age. I remember when YouTube came out, the first iterations of it. It was kind of like, I remember being in my dorm and me and a bunch of my roommates and friends just watching the most dumbest videos in the world.
Yeah.
Doing that. And just to this day, I'm not going to lie, I still go back to YouTube and watch certain things, or, you know, videos, people traveling, or cases. But the internet has opened up the door to another level of entertainment, where it's like you have these different platforms, you know, shows like yourself and other shows are on YouTube, and people have the outlet to kind of connect with people. Once again, it's a good or bad thing. I mean, what people don't realize, the internet was really made for the government. They don't really remember.
Right. That. Yeah. DARPA, right? DARPA.
Yeah. Years ago. And so they couldn't handle it. So they just gave it to the world. And so.
Well, maybe they couldn't contain it. I mean,
they probably couldn't. Yeah. I mean, so much wealth information. It could be great. It could be great to have resources to have out there and do things, but it's also could be deadly to the point of the dark web and things that could happen and things that could be taken a mystery, or people, which I go back to my way earlier statement of that people have misinformation. Well, I read on the internet about this. I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't mean it's true. You know, anyone's out there, you know, that's fine. But and that's your opinion, but doesn't mean it's always true. You know, so you got to be very vigilant when you're getting information, you know, or have some good, reliable resources when doing that.
Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. It's made, you know, there at this point, there is no source, right? So, I mean, it used to be you'd have these very trusted, you know, sources for information. And I think what it's done is kind of scrambled that a bit. I mean, because as we've found out, you know, even the most, even the media now is not even trustworthy. The mainstream media, they say all kinds of stuff that don't.
I mean, and that was a place
not real.
To like get information. You know, I mean, I still watch the news. I don't, you know, it is what it is. I don't fully always believe everything that's out there, but you know, it's a form of information. I still will always like, okay, I heard about that. Let me go back and research for myself. But yeah, you're totally right. The media was supposed to be our guarded sanction for kind of keeping our checks and balances as the unquote fourth house of our, you know, government in the U.S. at least.
Right.
And now it's kind of this haywire and just does whatever the fuck they want it. I'm sorry. Well, you know, they do what the hell they want to do.
It is. It's wild to think that, you know, I think of my parents would have never, you know, they would never think that the media would lie to them.
Of course.
And yet now we have media that does lie to people essentially because they align themselves in with a certain, you know, bent or whatever. And they are telling, let's not call them lies, but let's call them half truths. So they mention something that may be true and then something that may be a little fuzzy, but they put them together.
Yeah.
And so then that way, when they put them together, you're like, oh, true. And then you just buy the rest of it because the true statement's at the front.
And also, it's very biased. It's this point where we're having to pick a side. And that's not.
Yeah. And they were never, if you have studied media at all, the idea behind it is that they're supposed to be unbiased. They're supposed to just basically present.
Yep.
What the facts that are out there in the world, and there's you know, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. Like, well, for instance, Dak was on a show and the fire department went by. That's it, right? Because there was a siren in the background.
True.
But that's it. That's what happened. Do we know that it burnt down? Something burnt down. We have no idea. We just know the siren went by, and that's it. But now they delve into, you know, why are there so many sirens in the city, you know, and
what's going on? What espionage?
It's a psyop on the people of the city.
Yes, that's so true.
It's nutty that this is happening. But the other thing I think, and I'm sorry, I went off onto a little tangent there. But the other thing I think is that the internet is growing up because you mentioned, you know, YouTube and watching YouTube at the beginning. That would have been around 2005 when YouTube came out, which I have a slight little story that I'll divert onto. So whenever YouTube came out, they used to have at the very, very beginning, they used to have featured videos. And I'm so angry that my brother got a featured video back then. And I never could because I was on it like right away.
Right.
And because he was on a boat in the ocean while they were demolishing a building. And he did a phone video from like a flip phone of this building collapsing. And it made the front page of YouTube back in 2005. And I happened to, you know, I was interested. And so I happened to be watching it. I couldn't believe that he made it on the front page back then. I was so angry with him. I'm like, I've been trying to get something on this stupid YouTube. And here you go out with your stupid flip phone and get it on the front page. Anyway, but the point of that is, and I'm, you know, we're siblings, so this is all part of the process. But the... but the funny thing is I think now, you know, 20 years on almost, the internet is growing up. And
Absolutely.
So we're having these kind of discussions about things as opposed to just seeing buildings blow up or seeing people, although there's still a lot of people falling down videos on the internet. Mm-hmm. I think, though, that the tide is turning to where there's much more constructive elements to it than there have been in the past.
Yeah. I think it comes to, it's, you know, a little bit of checks and balances. I mean, we still have, you know, copyright laws. We have certain, you know, sanctions for those things. And I think there's things that, you know, suitable for children, not suitable for children. You have to have certain limitations when it comes to that, because you don't want to have everything out there. Obviously, sex or, you know,
right,
dark web things. Like, you don't want to influence people, but also you don't want to grotesque or freak people out at the same time. I mean, it goes back to what we talked about with media before. It's like, it's hard. I mean, you know, not to get too political, we talk about, you know, the things that are happening in the Middle East and things that are happening over there. It's like, you're getting so many different waves of information and what is really happening. And it's like, you gotta, I always tell people, you gotta inform yourself. You can't lean on your media for everything. Of course, it's there for you. Of course, you get the information for you, but you have to get out there and really understand for yourself and not jump on the bandwagon. And going back, celebritism and celebrities, like, people are like, oh, well, so-and-so supports so-and-so and I'm not gonna do this. I'm like, but okay, that's their choice. Like, does it mean you have to, like, first of all, actors are actors. I don't know why people seem to think that life of, like, I think they're amazing, they're great. I love entertainment, I grew up in entertainment, I work in entertainment, but I don't think they're the lifeline of life. Like, I don't think even they take themselves that serious. I mean, some of them probably do, narcissists, but for the most part, they don't take themselves seriously. And their opinions are their opinions. I watch you for a great show. You're doing a great character you play. I can give two shits what you do in your personal life. Like,
that's right. What makes you an expert?
You know, right? Committing murder or something with kids or, you know, doing something crazy. Then, yeah. But, like, other than that, I don't care what you do. I'm watching you for entertainment aspect of what you bring to this character in this TV show. What you do in your life, that's great. That's awesome. But I don't really care. But we get so luscious, I want to know everything about this person. It's like, they just play a character on TV. What makes you think you know anything about their lives?
Well, and I mean, the funny thing is, I'm trying to think if I have examples, but I've encountered this to where some people in entertainment are incredibly interesting people and lead a very, very rich, full life in the background. Mm-hmm. And some people are the most vapid, shallow people. And
I met some of them. Yep, I know.
And they don't really even, I mean, their life is basically guided by being a celebrity as opposed to being guided by being themselves. But I mean, you know, the same can be said about everybody. It's not like, they're just picking, we're picking on celebrities at the moment. But
there's the people that you can relate to the most. But then you got your Aunt Margaret or your Uncle Joe who says some crazy shit, and you're like, I know. But everyone has one for their family, you know? So everyone wants to feel important. You always have that one, some people always do. They won't admit it, but they have that one friend who just does the most outrageous, stupid shit. And you're just like, why am I friends with you? You know? And then like, okay, are you trying to prove something to yourself? Are you trying to be alpha? Are you trying to, you know, puff your chest and make something more of yourself because you're already insecure about the fact that you're less of a person without doing this? You know what I mean? Like, those are things that you're just kind of like observing. You're like, okay, whatever, you know, but you don't need to do that. I mean, there's a study that just came out. I don't know if you read this, Bob, that says, I'm kind of a fitness person, so I get back into fitness and learn. It said people who are into fitness are the most, not vapid, but the most insecure people in the world.
oh, really?
Yeah.
I would have not thought that.
Right. No, like, they're promoting, like, you know, health and, you know, fitness and wellness, but studies have shown they're the most, insecure and kind of just not vampit, but like almost just like are not self-aware of themselves. And I'm like, that's interesting to figure out. But from a psychological point of view, it kind of makes sense in a way. If you're posting so many shirtless selfies, it's two reasons why you're doing that. But most likely, why are you really doing it? One, for clout. The second is because you're insecure about something. You want to look better at something.
I guess. Yeah, but I find that interesting because the other side of that coin is that you have folks who are involved in that are incredibly motivated people, because that to me, that, I mean, maybe I'm not in the category, but to me, it's like, you really have to be dedicated to do some of that, because I mean, how many people, you know, the relatable thing to say is, I really should work out, but I don't do it. And that's what everybody says. They're like, we all have the time. I mean, we say we don't have the time, but the reality is that we can make the time. We would just, you know, we had to cut out watching television or something, but we can make the time.
But here's the thing. They'll say you can still watch TV while you're on the treadmill. So
that's true. You know, exactly.
It's a different way of how they approach it. But also think about this, Bob. They have to maintain that certain physique or that persona for a very long time, which goes back to how certain actors are or certain people. you have to maintain a certain amount. I mean, I've actually talked to my cousin about it. He's a fitness enthusiast, and you know, if he loses like a certain shred of like muscle, he goes insane, you know. But I'm like, I get it. You have a routine you're used to and what you work on, but then also it's okay to change those things. But for some of them, it's very hard to not have that, you know, and then they have to be episode that they keep up with the, you know, the image they put out there. And if they don't, then their followers lack. And then this goes back to social media, which takes me to another tangent. How that could be a good or bad thing, because it takes you this whole
life. Well,
I'm like, I don't have followers. I'm gonna, something's wrong with me. And I'm like, who gives a fucking fuck? Shit.
Well, that's true. So yeah, we have this horrible feedback loop now in place, I would say, with social media. So, I do that, I'm going to put your Instagram up just to be ironic.
The most nonchalant, like, follow me, but yeah.
But it's a weird feedback loop now where people are like judging themselves based on this system that they totally have no control over. I mean, it always baffles me that, you know, you have a certain amount of control over your life, right? But everybody always looks to things that are outside of their control to give them something, right? To boost their ego or you know, to show their worth. And social media is probably one of the worst things, because most people don't even know how, you know, how it works. I mean, in the sense that, you know, you put stuff out there and it may be the most brilliant thing ever, and yet no one sees it.
No one sees it.
And so then, you know, the weird thing is that we're all, you know, hamsters on the wheel. But we're not driving ourselves at that point. We're driving Instagram. We're helping Instagram more than we're helping ourselves.
Of course we are. And I think the problem is that you have to, once again, determine the good from the bad of it. Social media can be really great. I don't want to rag on and say it's bad, but put it from this, I use it from my aspect. You know, people see I post something. And for me, I'm all about, once again, media, art, history, things I find intriguing, I'll post about, mostly my travels, you know, because I want people to say, like, there's a world out there. You should try to get out and see this world. You should try to make every effort to do that and really broaden your horizons. I think that's sort of the positive way. People who like to do makeup tutorials or fitness or certain aspects, those are great things to have out there. There's nothing wrong with that. But what becomes a problem is that you see certain people travel and you're like, oh my God, I can't afford to do that. Okay, you may not be able to afford to do that now, but maybe it's something you could put on your bucket list down the road. Don't feel like you have to always do everything someone else does, you know. I would get friends to get envious of me. They're like, oh my God, you went here, you went there. And I'm like, yeah, I said, but you know, there's different ways you can do that. And then I turn into a business, a side business man is just doing travel for a lot of my friends. I'm like, well, this, I can do this for you. This is where I stayed. And, you know, let me help you out with this and that. And so it was a wealth of information I was giving the world to say that these things are possible for you to make happen for yourself. And you can do that and feel comfortable knowing that there's a world outside of the four walls that you have every day around you, which sometimes people feel like they don't think that's possible, you know, and the scrolling is really bad. You got to realize you got to put yourself on mute sometimes. I love a good travel blog. I love a good cooking blog. I love fitness. But after about 30 minutes, I'm like, okay, walk away. It's not that I don't want to keep doing it, but you can't get into this habit of doing it over. I love my best friend. I love him to death. He will be on TikTok for almost an hour to 2 hours. And I'm like,
wow. And that's a lot.
I'm like, you could be doing something else and not do that. You know, like, just minimize yourself. I'm saying don't cut it out, but just minimize yourself. Take a little bit of time, enjoy it and see it, and then get out to the world. Same person you see stuff. I see something sometimes, I'm like, wow, that person went to Prague. Oh my God, that sounds a good trip. Let me investigate that for myself and look into that. Maybe may it happen this year or next year, but let me look into that. It seems like such a cool thing. And translate it to something that can happen outside of the digital space that you're seeing.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned, I think travel is one of the greatest ways, especially if you're, you know, a younger person, to open your eyes to the world. And I think the unfortunate thing is we've got it, you know, as a society, we've got it flipped, right? So old people get to travel and young people don't get to travel, when it really should be the other way. Because if it was the other way, then I think that there would be a lot more understanding in the world, because you would see for yourself, right, how what the world is like. And I think people get trapped into this thing about travel where they say, because they want, when they travel, they want to be, you know, first class accommodations all the way across the board. Yeah. And it's like, you can still go someplace. I mean, think about your budget, and you could, you still have to eat and everything. You probably eat out at home. So rather than, you know, they just have to get a little money to get yourself somewhere, and you just be doing the same thing that you'd be doing at home. It's just
people, budget travel exists. It's not. Yeah. Fantasy, and you can still have a great time. I've done it myself. I've done high class travel. I've done budget travel, and it's still been a great experience. Well, not always a great experience, but ideally, it's a learning experience. It's all, listen, it's a learning experience too. It's like, I've been delayed in the airport and have to be shut and wait 4 hours, you know. But it's all an experience. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about the experience and journey that you went on to do that. Yes, you have some travel delays here and there, but maybe stay at a lower hotel here, but in the next city you go, you save up and do a nicer hotel. That's fine.
The weird thing, I talked to and I'm blanking on his name now, but I talked to a guy, and you know, now that we've got to where we can, you know, where it's more acceptable to work from home, where I think before COVID was less acceptable. During COVID, he actually got rid of his apartment, and then just because Airbnb was having all these deals, he just lived in different places during COVID. And traveled around, and like, because he didn't have to be in one place. And I was fascinated. I'm like, really? This has been a while ago. I talked to him probably a couple of years now, but I was like, that is just so fascinating that you had the, you know, kind of the foresight to say, you know, I don't need to spend my money the way I'm spending it. I can spend it the way I want to spend it. And be in other places. Like, he stayed in San Francisco. He stayed in Oregon, I think it was. But anyway, he went to all these places and basically worked from there and lived from there, and just took his rent money and everything and applied it in that way. Now we're out of COVID, so prices are different, because at that time they were trying to get people to come. But so he got a deal. But he was, you know, thinking. And, but even now, you can probably, I mean, maybe you'd go places that aren't as, you know, touristy. And it still can give you a sense of the world, because you're going to be in places that maybe aren't as popular. But maybe it will become popular if you do a little research. I mean,
you got to pick the off seasons. I always tell people, off seasons are always going to be your best friend. You know, you know, going to Italy during the summertime, probably not the best time to go. It's probably hot as well. But find different times to do that, and find a flexibility. If you can work remote for a week, like for myself personally, I can work up to 3 weeks remote and not be in my office. And I'm like, oh, I go work another office, and that's fine. And that works, you know. You find your limitations, you know, and work from there. And just, you know what I'm saying, just make it your own. Just make it your own. Do I ever feel like you're alone in the process? There's always someone that done it. Follow people who do it. I think there's a channel about people who work remote and go to Bali and everywhere else, you know how to budget travel and know how to get, you know, the deals on the airlines, you know. You know, work for a little bit and see if it works for you. It may not work for you, and you're like, hey, I tried it, didn't like it. All right, fine. And that's okay.
Yeah. Well, and I would encourage people, I mean, if you're, especially if you're younger and your parents don't mind, don't just leave your stuff with them and take off. I mean, you don't have to have a place for your stuff that you're paying for. I mean, even if you paid, like, give me a corner of the basement to put all my stuff for a while, because I'm not going to be living anywhere. I mean, there's lots of options out there. And I think that they'd be, you need to take advantage of them. I mean, this is the time, because, you know, you'll be able to travel later, maybe in better circumstances, depending on your career arcs and so forth. But you're never going to have that kind of, you know, experience, because the experiences are different. I mean, I don't think people realize that as you age and so forth, even though it's the exact same experience, it's different when you're younger, when you're older.
Yes.
The perspective is all different.
I do in my 20s, it might be the same things I do. I mean, my 40s now, I'm like, if I wouldn't do those things, you know, certain levels, like, I'm not going to hostels. It's just not my thing. But, you know, I mean, there's some people who still do that, and that's fine. You know, me and my partner are very different on this aspect. Like, he's more of like a bohemian hipster and do whatever he wants to do. I'm more like, I need a nice place to stay, and I want to make sure it's good. And then, you know, then scamp on different little excursions along the way and kind of mix it up a little bit. But you just got to find those balances. And yeah. Know that everything is different for different people, you know, and be safe about it too, obviously. You know, travel different places.
Right.
Your safety, but always read up on stuff, check up on everything. You know, do your research. I'm re-internet. Do your research.
Yeah, do your research.
And yeah, you know, make it great. And I can tell you firsthand, I have not been disappointed. Maybe only one trip that was very horrible, but that's probably one out of 10 or 20 trips I've done. I have never looked back and like, I didn't enjoy the experience.
Right. Yeah. Even if you get caught in the rain or something, it still can be fun. Yeah. I know my wife and I went to New York and we're in New York City walking around and you would think in New York City that you could get out of the rain easily. No. When it started pouring down rain, you're walking down the street. Yeah, I guess you could go into a business, but then they don't, you got to, you know, they want you.
Oh, they might shoot you out afterwards.
Yeah. You're soaking wet. Yeah. It was just one of those, we were within a couple of blocks of the hotel and we just got drenched and it was fun and not fun all at the same time. It's fun now looking back at it, but at the time we were like, oh my gosh.
You're like, this is miserable.
like there's not even any awnings. My gosh, this
no, the city is not
it's terrible. Yeah, and I didn't even think it would rain that hard in New York, but it did. I mean, it was crazy thunderstorm. But anyway, kind of back a little bit to the virtual part of things. So the interesting thing to me, and I'm a cartoon character and you have a background from a Marvel movie. And so now I think we're eking our way into the realm of, you know, that we can portray things that aren't real as real. And so now you have to be incredibly discernible in watching things now, because it's so easy to make things that aren't real.
I mean, also you can tell from the background. You can tell us better. I mean,
right now, give it 2 years.
That's very true. AI has changed. You were absolutely correct on that. But yeah, I wouldn't. You know, I think backgrounds and these things are always nice. It's kind of fun. Like, you know, you're in a Zoom meeting at work. It's like kind of have a nice little nice background. You have work things, this and that. But you're totally right. You have to be careful. AI, once again, good and bad. I had a podcast about this. It's just how you use it and how you handle it. It's just you have to be smart about it. But it's scary, as you said, because it will get to a point where like you will not be able to tell the difference. I mean, I think of certain platforms. I think when I use my software editing for a podcast, Riverside, they have like an AI like section where you can like AI your voice or something. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. Like, you didn't have to talk at some. I'm like, wait, there's a
bot. Right.
Like, you know, so you should have to be careful about it, yes.
It's going to be, we're on the, you know, kind of the precipice, I suppose, of this, you know, even though everybody loves to use the word AI and so forth. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not into what I would call, you know, real artificial intelligence. We're at the infancy of it. Right. Yeah. And so if we keep going down this path, you know, it becomes then what? I mean, what, how are people going to cope with our, you know, 20th century skills in this 21st century environment where you can create things out of nothing to look like they're something. Like, I mean, I don't know if I love to watch these silly movie trailers that people make with AI where they'll take Star Wars reimagined as a 50s movie.
Oh God, I hate those because I get very excited because I'm such a, you know, big Marvel and Star Wars fan and stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, this is new. But it looks like you said, it looks so real. I'm like, wait, he really? I'm like, oh no.
I just recently, I there's a movie coming out with Jack Black called Dear Santa, I think is the name of it. And I saw an ad, not an ad for it. I saw it in somebody's feed. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is a fake movie poster. That's my first, that was my first inclination, was to think that this isn't real. Somebody's done a really, really good job of putting Jack Black as Santa. Actually, he's not playing Santa. I'll give you spoilers, but he's playing the devil playing Santa. And I thought, well, that sounds like a fun movie. I wonder if they'll really make it, because they did a really good job on this poster. And it's real. It's a real movie.
It's a real movie. Yeah. I mean, with Jack Black, I wouldn't be surprised. So that makes a lot of sense.
But when I saw it, I'm like, that's not real. That was my first inclination. And so there's so many of these things now, because there are people who do fake movie posters. It's all, to me at this point, it's an art form. They've done such a good job with them that, and they're they look so good. I mean, this is art. But now we have to discern. And I was just like, I can't believe that I was. I mean, I went to the good side of assuming that it was not real, but now I keep questioning myself, is that really a thing or is this not a thing? And that's now. And so I can't imagine what's going to happen in the future as we go along, you know.
I used to make this joke about Skynet, you know, from Terminator. I was like, you know, mm-hmm. Skynet going live, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Gonna take it. I mean, not that I don't think Skynet really happened, hopefully. but yeah, it's one of those things where, like, you're right. We're in the infancy and we're getting started. But I tell people, don't be scared of it. You know, it's embrace yourself and understand it and learn it. It's not going to be easy, of course. But I think the more you're aware about it, and back to my famous word of research, figure it out and understand as much as you can. It's not quantum physics. It's not quantum mechanics. I mean, mostly if you understand that, then you're a genius and that's awesome. Good for you. But, you know, you just understand the basics of it and understand how that works. And then I don't know if it gets to the point where we can, detect the AI detector versus, you know, a life model decor is somewhere. We're not at Westworld yet, like creating.
Right.
Hopefully, we're not there yet. But it's just, you know, make yourself understanding of it and be open to it and don't be too scared of it. I think the scarcity and the unknown is what makes it a harder thing to accept for some people, because it's something that's so out of what they may know or what they may understand. And I mean, we've had training at work on it, which is crazy, because now it's like, we can use it at work. We can only use it a certain way at work. You can't overuse it. And it's like, so what are you telling us? At some point, I won't say obsolete, but like, it's going to the point, like, maybe it's supposed to make things a little more automated, but I also feel like that's part of your job to do certain things. So like, you're just going to talk to the computer for everything, but we use the computer for everything. So once again, it's a whole catch-22 over and again. It just kind of comes all in one big.
Well, it may be that these jobs that are being kind of usurped a little bit by this technology, it may be that job becomes, the person becomes the one who has to discern, because it's not just going to come from within, it's going to come from outside. And so now you need to have somebody who's an expert to say, you know, what is this? Are we looking at something that's, you know, legitimate? I just think of, you know, all of the phishing things and spam. Yeah. And I mean, it's gonna get to legal documents, and you're gonna receive legal documents that are fake that say you owe a bunch of money. Yeah. And somebody's gonna have to be there to, you know, say, no, this is not real. And, you know, we're on the precipice of that. I mean, it's all these things are going to happen, because any technology that is good for people can be used to be bad for people. And we just have to, you know, we have to be diligent.
Is it possible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I just had a thought. We kind of tie in some of this together and wrapping up here, is that wouldn't it be interesting to think, especially the problem with VR is it's never really taken off its current incarnation because of the headsets and stuff. I think once they get the headsets down to where it's, you don't feel like you're, you know, strapping a baby to your face or something that you can well, people will buy into a little bit more.
But didn't Apple come out with one of the Vision? Is Vision Pro? I didn't never try it.
Yeah, Vision Pro, but it's still kind of bulky, I think. The bulk of it is what I think turns people off. If it was just a pair of glasses, then people would be way more, you know, into it. But you have to put this thing that's kind of heavy. But do you think there'll be people who basically go around, like you could say, I want to travel without traveling. And then you have people in different places who become your, you know, wear something like, you wear something, you become the person, you know, there was a movie about this with robots, but I mean, it could be with people too, I suppose. Where you're like walking around a bazaar somewhere, but you're the one watching it.
I don't know if you remember, it was launched or went off because they said VR was hard. But I remember Snapchat created something called Spectacles, and mm-hmm. I think what happened was you would wear the glasses and it would be like your live Snapchat without your phone, but you wear the mm-hmm. glasses. You could kind of, I don't know if you probably couldn't live record, but you could take pictures. So I think they were trying that aspect up, saying like, you know, if you're traveling or wherever you are, someone wants to know what's going on. They wear these eyeglasses.
Right.
I think Google Map kind of does it in a way, because if I don't know an area, I go to Google Map. I mean, obviously they drive around with the cars and go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I would just want to see it for myself. I mean, maybe it's just me. Like, I mean, I would like to get an understanding of a neighborhood, understand certain aspects, but I still want to be able to just physically be there.
I understand
some people can't be there for either certain reasons or the case may be. But right. I wouldn't want to take away from the aspect of actually really being there.
Now we tie it into celebrity, right? So like, we have celebrities who pay people to go be normal. Like, I remember the story about Michael Jackson basically closed down a grocery store because he just wanted to have the experience of going shopping because he couldn't, right? He was so famous that he couldn't even leave without security and everything. So he closed down a grocery store and he brought staff and so forth, but he brought people in to be other shoppers and they spent an afternoon grocery shopping. Hmm. Isn't that wild to think about?
It's wild. I get it. But also, you know what is? I guess a little different because that's like LA. This is where it's LA versus New York. Because in New York, celebrities come in, someone, no one gives two shits, to be honest. They're just like, okay, great. You know, maybe a little bit of frenzy here and there, but nothing like it is in LA. Because I've seen them in LA and I'm like, oh my God, like it's intense. Here, it's just how you can see. You know, Holly Berry or Brad Pitt, whoever, go into a store, and you're like, oh, cool. You know, I think I seen Adam Brody walk around one time at the museum. Awesome guy.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. But yeah, I get that because I think you do lose a sense of yourself in that world. And I think also there's a difference between being an artist and being a celebrity. And I think a lot of people don't want to be a celebrity. They want to be an artist. They want to
and
create the stuff and make it happen. I mean, it was crazy because we just had a few weeks ago a Timothée Chalamet lookalike contest that almost got shut down because there's so many people who look like Timothée Chalamet actually showed up. It was just freaking hilarious. How sometimes it just changes from time to time, you know. I think he got a row out of it, but I thought it was hilarious. I mean, that maybe came out for that, but it's really interesting, but I think, you want to be able to still be yourself in that aspect, but that is hard too, you know, but I think in that world, it does blend because it's almost like, I want this, but do I really want this? You know, and that's, that's tough. You're going to give up something in the
right.
of doing that. And that's very hard. In the case of Michael Jackson, is Michael Jackson. That man can't go anywhere. I mean, you know, rest in peace, but he couldn't go anywhere.
Right. Yeah, he couldn't go anywhere. Yeah,
like, you know, these divas we know for, you know, years. Those the kind of names. Yeah, you realize that many years of stage in that career, that's not happening. And you have to be okay with it, sadly. But it's kind of sad if you think about it, though. You know.
Yeah, it is sad. It's sad for folks who can't have any kind of normalcy in their lives. But, well, let's wrap it up here, Dak. So
Yeah.
Dak, the voice of reason, where can people find you besides Strawberry Dak, which I'll put back up there?
Strawberry Dak is my main one. I also have a website under Floor, so it's Floor Travel, which is also the link in my Strawberry Dak Instagram. So any travel needs or anything that you're interested for travel, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm always down to have a conversation about travel and to educate people on the aspects of global travel, as I've not spent where myself yet, but I'm on the verge of getting all the way around the world. That's going to be my goal.
Oh, cool. That's fantastic.
But yeah, that's kind of a place you can find me. But other than that, my podcast is Comfortable Being Uncomfortable. I probably should plug that. We wrapped up our second season. So that has wrapped up for the year, this year, 2024. And then we will start back up in February next year with some new guests and things as well. So I'll take a break for the holidays, be with family and friends, and then I ramp up again in the new year.
You're leading a very, what do you want to call it? A very balanced life.
I'm trying to. The key word is trying. I am trying to. I love what I do, but I think it's always good to kind of keep balance wherever you go.
Well, everyone, listen to Comfortable Being Uncomfortable. Go buy Strawberry Dak on Instagram. And I mean, it's great talking to you again. And we will catch everybody again next time and enjoy yourself. And Dak, I'm going to call you the voice of reason from now on.
I like that. I can stick with that. I'm okay with that.
All right. Hang on just a second.
All right.